Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Done, girl.
Okay.
I'm done a little.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, coming to you from the bunker in sunny Western Canada, in a field in North Regina. Rod Peterson with you today. As always, Darren DuPont is here, but not here. He's doing some work on the other side of the wall over there, which, by the way, Paul, I hear we're extending the wall.
Are
we building a wall, Paul?
Yes, we're gonna build
and
a wall.
You're paying for it.
That's right, Rod.
Welcome to episode number 52.
Can't get South Regina? People south of Dude need to pay for it? Does it work that way?
We'll get to that. We'll get to the political talk. Changing things up a little bit, clearly. DuPont's not here for the warm-up. We've got Hall of Famer Jim Hobson here. We've got the Duke of Mydale, Derek Myers, with us. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Show 52.
I'm very excited, Jim. Take it away with what you brought in here today.
Well, I knew I couldn't wear a green 52, and I have a lot of those, but I looked in my closet, and lo and behold, I had the original Ryder colors, 52, from our centennial year in 2010. I did not wear the shorts. If you remember those shorts, they were...
those were the Norwegian curling team.
So I got the 52 out in honor of show 52.
We really appreciate it, Jim. Appreciate you coming in and doing that. And we've kind of tabbed this, our Plaza Week special. Weston Dressler was with us on Monday, going to the Plaza. We all know that. Kerry Joseph going next week. Andrew Green, class of 2012, was here. And Mike Abou-Meshrick is in the Mike Abou-Meshrick Hall of Fame. He has a case, statistically speaking, why he should go on the Plaza. Next week when he's in here, we'll let him detail that for you. And actually, he makes a good case.
He's in with the 2007 team.
Right. Tell him that.
Well,
tell him that.
The team is in. The Grey Cup teams.
I think that's enough for him.
Abou would be part of that team. Kind of like Paul Henderson is in the Hockey Hall of Fame as part of the 1972 Summit Series
Maybe
team.
That works. So. And Neil Hughes will be in here a little later on today, right here in the bunker. But Jim, let's get right. I'm not even going to go through all the topics. We'll do that after you adjourn what we're going to talk about, because this is a big week for you. Congratulations again. Was it everything you imagined going into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame?
And more. It really was. You think about this for a long time, and you want it to go well. I had a lot of my family with me, and we were really looking forward to it. But it was great. Mark DeNoble, the volunteers, they do a great job. The Tie Cats had a really nice crowd on Friday night. They do it at the stadium, and they built a platform out over the stand so that people could sit in the seats, but you were right there, right in front of them. And, they did the thing with the bus and all the rest of it, and we had a really nice time. And Saturday was the game, and that was a lot of fun. Good game. BC should have won that game, but they, they blew it. And Hamilton came back and won it, but it was a good game, beautiful night. So it was a great weekend. We got to Niagara Falls. We did all the tourist things. Went to a Blue Jays game. The wrong one. We went to the 1-0 game. We missed the 19-3 or 4.
On Monday, yeah. Right. Just missed it.
But anyway, it was a tremendous weekend. Can't say enough about the people and how they treated us. And just complete strangers come up to you and congratulate. congratulate you, and it was really, really cool.
Derek, you jump in any time, but I will just say this, because I've been at that induction. It's got a Canton feel. It's got a real football feel, and I love that field. It's not like our stadium, but it's still a good stadium. It's like a really nice college stadium. And one thing about Hamilton, they love their CFL, right?
Oh, they do, and they were loud and proud, and the stadium kind of reminds me a bit of Old Taylor Field, yep. You know, the way it is, but it's a nice place, beautiful night, and can't say enough about the experience.
What came to mind? I mean, I'm sure you had your speech prepared, but I mean, it's hard when you're in the moment, when you're going up there, you know, so many thoughts run through your mind and so many different facets of your football career. I mean, as a player, as the CEO, as the guy who, you know, gets credited quite often for turning the success of the Riders around. Was there a moment that something was kind of popped into your mind that was not on the sheet of paper in front of you?
I really did get, I don't know if sidetracked is the right word, but about half an hour before we're getting ready to leave for the stadium on Friday afternoon, Steve Missouri came down, my old running mate, and he was with me for the whole thing, and I was so happy. But he phoned me, and he said, Hoppy, I didn't know whether I should tell you now or when we get to the stadium or later. He said, I don't want to upset you, but he said, Hugh McKay passed away.
Right.
And I, you know, I was rattled because he was such a big part of the Riders and both in the old stadium and the new. We nicknamed him Hugh McStadium because he was our stadium guy. So I was really rattled. And it was interesting because in my speech, I had planned to talk a lot about the behind-the-scenes people,
right.
The people that weren't going to get put in Hall of Fames, but all those that really gave me the opportunity to get into the Hall of Fame, and that's the Hugh McKays and the Ryan Whipplers and the Liz Meisners, and the list goes on, and of course the football ops people, so, and so on. And Huey was so important in that regard. So I thought, well, I'm going to talk about it anyway. So at the very beginning of my talk, I talked about how I want to talk about those that aren't going to be here and aren't going to get the award, and I dedicated my speech to Huey McKay.
Oh, wow.
Very nice.
But it's sort of in encompassing all those people that won't get the kind of recognition that I've had. And so it was emotional. And I got to talk about, you know, the guys that are in the hall that I played with, the Ronnies, the Georges, the Roger Aldags, the Bill Bakers. And it was, and of course, my mentor, Gord Curry, who went in 06. So a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings that kind of surprise you at times.
Well, I'm enjoying the visit, and if anybody's checking out the Facebook stream, you see we've got viewers literally from Victoria to New York City. Joe Lazito, good morning, Joe, chiming in from Manhattan. So also listeners at rodpeterson.com, listen live. I was hoping, Jim, that you could paraphrase a bit of your speech here today because we can't see it. And you said your son Tyler's got it on video,
yeah,
recorded,
yeah.
So I'll have to get him to ship it to me. How long would you say you were up there? Do you know?
Longer than I was supposed to be.
Oh, you Schultz did, didn't you?
No, I didn't. Oh,
I love it. That's such
really. They told us 7 minutes, and so
that's nothing.
I tried to stay within that.
You can't say hello in 7 minutes.
What happened was several of the guys were quite short in their remarks. You know, Terry Greer, very, very gracious and so on. So, but the first up was John Cornish, and he went over, which we knew he would. And then I was more towards the end, and I went over. But Mark DeNoble, the head of the hall, said, don't worry about it. We're well within our time frame for all of you, and it worked out really well. So, you know, and I really did talk about I talked about what football meant to me, but what football means to the country, to kids, how it changes lives, and how it's so important that we fight to keep football, the CFL. It just has a big place. And it's not just football. I mean, all sport is great for us. But football is special, and we got to deal with the concussion issue, and we are. There's a lot of things happening and a lot of good changes. So that was kind of the theme, was the importance of football to me personally, how it changed my life and all the things I've had, but how it's done that for so many people. And then all the people that, you know, work forever, love the Riders, love football, and they're not going to get celebrated for what they have contributed, huh?
Yeah, I know, but you got a lot of supporters. It reminds me of Kerry Joseph coming on here Monday, and both Andrew Green and Abu saying, "You wouldn't be there without us."
Oh,
and of
geez.
Course, everybody, but they didn't say it rudely.
No, of course.
They all had a big chuckle out of it. Everybody understands the deal. That's just the way that it goes.
Yeah. When it comes to your career, there's definitely two phases of it within Saskatchewan, as a player and as the CEO. Can you weigh them the same, and do you look back at them differently, or is it all just kind of one big journey with the Riders?
I would say that they're different. You know, for me, having the opportunity to play with the Riders, even though I only played 4 years, was a real highlight. You know, growing up here, mm-hmm. you know, I just never dreamed that I'd have that opportunity. So, and then after I was done and I moved on with my life and was working in education, I reflected on how fortunate I was. I got to play with, you know, with Ronnie Lancaster, George Reed, Ed McCorders, Bill, you know, virtually a who's who of Rider royalty. And so I really do appreciate that. And that was a big, big thing for me. And then I think it gave me a bit of a leg up when I went into teaching and, you know, people knew who I was. And, you know, I had a great career in education. I loved my career as a teacher, principal, director of education. And, you know, then the icing on the cake was getting the call to be the president and CEO. And so many good things happened, you know, during my tenure. I was blessed with the opportunities we had, and we made the most of them. So it's been a great ride.
We've got viewers chiming in from Winnipeg this morning. Good morning, Todd. Don Mitchell, my sailor friend from Ottawa, as well, has got a question for Jim personally. And we're going to get into some league issues here with Jim Hobson, Canadian Football Hall of Famer, Rider Hall of Famer, too. There's a lot of things. The Argos game this week against Edmonton, Friday Night Football, is apparently literally dozens of tickets away from a sellout. You tell me how the hell that happened.
Whoa.
You want to go in on that one? What?
They are doing the same thing we did. If you buy a Rider or if you buy an Argo ticket, you get into the CNE.
Well, perfect.
And I love it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Fantastic.
Does that include the upper deck?
I don't know. Does it not?
I don't know.
If you look, everybody's putting the seating map from Ticketmaster on. There's no tickets available hardly. So what Jim, you and I talk about all the time, you got to dig deep with your marketing and get creative, and it looks like they have. And Don in Ottawa says, great to see Jim Hobson on the show. Does he think that the lack of bums in seats at the games is due to the more corporate direction of the CFL? It gets cut off there. Maybe you could let me know, Clark, what the end of it is. Jim made us all feel like family of the Riders, and it seems different now. Do you have on the corporate direction of the CFL?
You know, I've heard that. I mean, certainly you've got to have corporate sponsorship, and it's a big part of it. But I've always said we're a gate-driven league, and it's bums and seats, and it's that grassroots support. I saw a lot of things in Hamilton that encouraged me. They had a very good demographic, a lot of young people that were really enjoying the game, and they're obviously, you know, making sure they cater to that. I thought our game day was still stronger. I think we do a heck of a job. But Toronto does a heck of a job on their game day. So it's the demographics. I've had some people talking about ticket prices, and somehow we've got to find a ticket price range for those younger people that want to come to the games. They can't afford $100 a ticket. But teams are starting to catch on to that, Edmonton, BC, yeah, and others. And I think
I agree.
That's important. And I think it's happening in the NHL and other places as well. Toronto, the Blue Jays, that sure, you got your higher end seats, but you need to have those tickets available for $20-$25, and then people, and the kids want to come and they want to have a beer too. It's not just the ticket. And so find a way to keep prices down in certain areas for the beers and hot dogs, and there's teams doing that. So, but we got to make sure that those fans are in the stadium. The TV dollars are nice, but it's a small portion of the revenues that we need to run the league.
Mm-hmm. We've got lots to get to with Jim Hobson, CFL issues. The Walby Burger was announced this morning. Did you see that by the Blue Bombers, Derek?
I kind of threw up in my mouth a little.
Six patties of burgers, a couple onion rings, bacon. The Walby Burger now on sale at IG Field. We'll talk about
family
that.
Family meal.
Yeah, you can feed a whole family. Oh, they're checking in from Calgary this morning, Kevin Smith.
Yes, Smitty.
Great to see my neighbor in Mexico. Oh, that you guys know each other from Mexico? How do you like that? And Derek, are you? He's watching from Calgary, but you could watch from Mexico if you wanted. It's Canada's most watched Facebook live show, and you're listening live at rodpeterson.com. We got a sports update coming up on the other side, plus more of your questions, and you're catching our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Employee pricing is back.
You pay what we pay with savings up to 19 grand on a 2019 F-150 Supercrew 4x4. And we got them starting at just $34,999 plus tax. Our new 2019 Ford Escapes are starting from just $24,999 plus tax. And you can save 6 grand on remaining 2019 Ford Explorers. Plus, most purchases qualify for $1,000 trade-in bonus cash.
You pay what we pay!
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. On a Wednesday morning, Plaza Week continues. We've had on Weston Dressler, Andrew Green, Kerry Joseph. Today, Jim Hobson in the bunker. Later on, Neil Hughes in the bunker. Neil going into the Plaza of Honor next week here
and
in town.
And the Regina Sports Hall of Fame.
What a year for one Neil Hughes, the Métis missile.
Undrafted.
Undrafted. A hell of a story, Neil Hughes. We're going to tell those stories here a little later on. Sports update, Billy McKinney, Teoscar Hernandez, and Randall Grichuk all had home runs as the Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 3-0. McKinney and Hernandez home runs were back-to-back, the 11th time this season that Toronto had homered in consecutive at-bats. That tied a franchise record from 1999, and they are actually starting the finale of the series here shortly at Rogers Centre. And Oakland Raiders wide receiver Antonio Brown has returned to training camp after missing time to see a specialist for his frostbitten feet and losing a grievance with the NFL over the use of a helmet. AB was surrounded by cameras as he walked onto the field late for practice and greeted his teammates for the first time since leaving camp about a week ago. And that's a Wednesday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination.
Hey, can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
Based off that, Antonio Brown, the Oakland Raiders, are on Hard Knocks. It's the much-heralded NFL series. I know Rod's a big fan of that. Should the CFL, TSN, their television partner, look into doing something like that, maybe to help create a little more buzz? Because through the preseason, there's not a ton, but they've started televising. The odd game. Is that something that you think would be something that the league could look into? Because I know you spent hours and hours in league meetings over your career.
I think it'd be a great idea. I mean, you look at Rod been at many training camps, and you know the things that happen at training camp, the fun things and so on. And fans love that behind the scenes look.
100% agree.
You know, I used to just love it when we would bring fans into the locker room and they were just in awe. So that kind of thing, I think, would be a good way to expose more people to the game and get people turned on to being lifetime fans.
Talk about Antonio Brown, and if you follow any of what with the Raiders, like John Gruden's just like, oh, why did we get this guy? Who was the most flamboyant guy in your time, your decade of decadence?
Oh, that's a good question. Who was the most flamboyant?
Hard to handle, maybe.
No, a guy I loved, but he was out there, was Dwight Anderson. And mm-hmm. but I remember when Dwight was with Calgary, I just hated him, you know. And I'd stand on the sideline, and he'd chirp, and I'd chirp. And then he came here, and the guy was awesome. He was great in the locker room. He was a good family guy. The players loved him. But put him on the field, and he just turned it on. Yeah, he lost it. But there were lots of guys that were characters. And, you know, you look back, and you think – we talked about him the other day, Frank Landy. I mean, Frank was a defensive lineman, but he had the big personality. And, you know, those guys kind of stick out.
Well, I noticed this about D.I. I didn't like him either. If you remember, he poked Dressler in the eye in a game in Montreal, and we had to take him to the hospital that night. And I remember when the Riders signed D.A., we had him on the radio, and I said, are you going to apologize to Weston Dressler? And he said, for what? He didn't remember. But he gets here. He knew every security guard and usher's name. He knew all the staff. He cared.
He did.
You know? So that's the kind of guy that you don't see outside the sidelines.
He was like Roy Shivers in that regard. You know, Roy had the big personality and he had a persona. But Roy knew everybody. Roy always asked about how the family was. He cared. That's what it comes down to.
Couple more comments. Trent chiming in from Norway today. Hello, Trent. He says, Jim has hit the nail on the head with tickets and PR. Relationships with the fan base is important. Thank you, Trent, for checking in from Norway. Mucho gracias. What are you guys doing? Is that you, Paul? Who's got their phone going over there? It's not a movie up here. Quiet on the set. So over to Winnipeg, and good morning, Winnipeg. The Bombers announcing the Walby Burger. You want to show it up? Clark's got a picture of it here. I don't know exactly what is involved with it. There it is on the left, guys. There. That is the Walby Burger that they're now going to be selling at IG Field and ambulance rides for free. Afterwards.
The poor St. John's people.
Yeah. Luke Mullender saying on Twitter this morning, typical Bombers. Looks amazing at the start. Probably can't finish it, though.
Ouch. Ooh. Ouch. Funny because it's
you got
true.
A Walby story, Jim, you said.
Well, just, you know, I'm a pretty big guy, bigger than I should be. But I remember sitting one time between Chris Walby and Miles Garrell, and I really felt like a little kindergarten kid. I was looking up at one guy, and they're just huge. And both big personalities, funny, really love to poke fun at themselves, and they do love their food, and they might enjoy an occasional beer as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I had the same experience sitting between Aldag and Poley. It makes you feel small. It's not a bad feeling. It's just because I'm 6'3" and a half. Same thing. There's a couple Rider legends there. Our director of scouting writing in, Craig Smith, today. If TSN can have a director of scouting,
yes,
Craig
I
Button,
agree.
So can we. It's Smitty. He says, was in the CFL for 19 years, came across nobody better than Jim. Easy to see why the Riders had so much success with him at the top. Well, Smitty, your time in the CFL is not over, as we all know. As a matter of fact, the last time you were in here, Jim, you said, why is he not working?
That's right.
Well, he'll tell you it's because of his leukemia battle and his stem cell implants, or what do you call it? I'm not familiar with it, thankfully. Smitty will be back. He's a good football man.
Two guys that the CFL needs right now are Craig Smith and Brendan Tanner.
I knew that.
And they're not
the
you know, the big flamboyant guys and so on. They just do their job under the radar, no egos, love the game, know the game. And yeah, I'm pulling for Smitty. He's a great guy, and I want to see him back, and I want to see Brendan back in some capacity as well.
Well, they've got the backing. They've got the resumes. The one thing with Brendan, because I've talked to him a little bit here over the last 6-7 months, and certainly his brother Barry, he's in a position where he can afford to be choosy. He's not going to take just any job.
No, he's not. And I talked to him mostly by email and text and so on. Yeah, and he's happy, and he likes doing his little gig with the Leader Post and Van Stone, and I think that's great. And he's had some opportunities. It's not like people haven't reached out to him, but it hasn't been the right situation for him. And so hopefully he'll get back at some point.
Yeah, he has for certain had opportunities. Randy writing in this morning says, enjoying the show here in Red Deer, Alberta. So we always enjoy with where you're chiming in from every morning here on the Rod Peterson Show. And don't forget, you can text us on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. Looks like people already have. I'll get to that in a minute. For Prairie Mobile, 840-8777. Brian's watching from Vancouver this morning. He is with the BC Lions Den podcast. I think we're all watching the BC Lions with considerable interest for different reasons. Mine's Duran, not to mention the Lions have been, they've literally bent over backwards to accommodate this show, putting on their players and staff. So Brian writes in and he says, what would Jim do if he had a chance to run the BC Lions to get fans back in the seats? And does he think an ownership change is needed in BC? And after you answer that, I'll talk about the latest article in the Vancouver Province, if you saw it, by Ed Willis.
Very interesting.
An ownership consortium sounds like putting their money together to buy the BC Lions. We'll talk about that. But Jim, if you went in to run the Lions, what would you do?
I wouldn't do a lot different than the man that's there right now. They've got Rick Wallisher. Rick's a good friend. Rick and his wife were at the Hall of Fame on Friday night and Saturday. He ran the Edmonton Eskimos for many years. He understands the challenges. So they got the right guy there. And a change is coming. David Bailey has said that, you know, he wants to get out. He's at that point in his life. And so I think it is important to bring in that new energy. David has been unbelievable for the league, what he's done in BC and Toronto and Hamilton. But it's time to bring somebody in. When I watched the game on Saturday night, they've got some good players. They're not far away. But they're a young team, and you could see sometimes their emotion and the excitement got a little out of control on this, you know, between the coaches, the players. And if they could, you know, when they settle down and learn to win, they should have three wins by now, really. But they've blown a couple of games. But the opportunity to win is there for them. Rick has a lot of confidence in Ed Hervey. I don't see a change coming there at all. You know, they're gonna ride this out and hopefully get it right. And you know, Riley, I thought Riley looked more like Riley on Saturday night. He seemed to be, you know, the old guy that would run when he needed to and so on. They had, I don't know, 150 yards rushing, so they certainly were doing some things well. But I think that franchise can still be very successful. I'm concerned though about the East, as many are. But if Toronto has a sellout, fantastic. My son said, or somebody said when we were down there, in a city that big, you know, we only need like 0.1% of the population to fill a stadium on game day because there's so many million people down there, and so they got to keep working at it. Montreal seems like they're turning the corner, and so that's positive. But I want to see some sellouts here before we get deep into the fall.
Well, I know you're just one second. Yeah. Well, great comments are coming in today, and one is about, as you talk, more things are going through my head and theirs. Montreal's engaged. Their fans are engaged. You know how we know? They're furious at what happened Friday night at Molson McGill Stadium. And I actually went into the book Green Magic about the rainout here in 2007 to get the details. It was early fourth quarter. Edmonton was leading 32-30. Andre Proulx, who apparently is a good friend of yours.
Good guy.
Which we'll tell that story in a minute.
The fans won't like to hear that, but he's a good man.
Lightning struck at IPSCO. You may remember all these details, but I don't really remember. Lightning struck at IPSCO, and Andre, somebody got a message to him, and he said, we're going off the field. Stopping the game. So they went under the stands. Then the power went out. So whoever wrote in earlier this week and said it was storm first, then the power outage, you had that right. So, and of course the Riders storm back and win. Well, Alouettes fans think they would have stormed back and won on Friday night. So how do you feel about this whole thing?
Well, I was caught off guard, and I think that was part of the problem. So many people were, I think TSN was caught off guard. You know, people weren't brought up to speed in terms of the new rule, the change. And so I think that was part of it, that, you know, nobody knew this was coming. I remember that 07, you know, so clearly because we were losing when we went in. And we sat in the locker room in the dark, literally, and there was some emergency lights. And you know what it was like in the old dressing room with the cement and the leaks.
It was
the
dark water's there to
dripping.
Begin with.
We got pails. The guys are waiting and waiting. And finally, Andre came in, and I went out and talked to him, and we had a talk, and he said, you guys want to go? And I went in the locker room. I said to J.O., Jeremy O'Day, who was captain, I said, what do you think, J.O.? And he says, heck yeah, we're going to play. And we went out, and we came storming back and won the game. And I was surprised at how many people stayed. We expected to see empty stands after, you know, that long delay, but they were there. But I'm not opposed to the change. But I think we need to tweak it. At some point, you got to look at the safety of the players, the safety of the fans. Is it reasonable to expect people to wait 4-5 hours? I don't know what the number is, but I think they'll work through that. But it needs to be better communicated within within the fan base, within the league. I think the Riders and the Alouettes were caught off guard by it.
Yeah, well, it would be nice if they would tell people when they go and change or put in new rules.
But the thing was, A, it was collectively bargained.
Yep.
And B, it was the rule. And C, no way in hell Montreal was coming back in that game. They only had 90 yards through basically three full quarters of offense. There was no chance. The Riders' offense, like, I mean, I can get where they're at. And if this had been the roles reversed, the Rider fans would be upset too. And I get it. But, I mean, no way. No way Montreal was coming back in that one. But I do agree with you. An hour does seem a little quick. Where that line falls, I mean, I don't know. That becomes, like you said, a player safety issue. You can only start and stop so many times. Yeah. And then that would be an issue.
I think they had the right idea. And you made a great point. The players wanted this.
Yeah, it was bargained.
It was bargained for. And so, I heard comments from some of the players, and some of them were there negotiating. So, mm-hmm. We got to work through it. A win is a win. We'll take it right now. But it does feel a little tainted. But at the end of the day, you win some games you shouldn't, and you lose some games you shouldn't. And that's sport, and that's the way it is.
The one thing I wanted to ask you, Jim, was, and we were talking about, some of the people have some concerns in BC, we saw the question, or in Toronto. When you first came to the Riders as the CEO, what were kind of some of the things you identified? And I know it kind of ended up being the perfect storm with, you winning a Grey Cup a year later and all that momentum kind of really snowballed. But was there a couple things that you identified, especially when it came to increasing, the gate, that you said, we got to do this better?
Well, we knew we had to do our game day better. We didn't have the money, we didn't have the resources, so it was pretty much a vanilla game day in terms of what we presented. And we had an older fan base. It was obvious when you walked around, a lot of guys sitting, listening to Rod on their transistor radios. And we didn't have a video board. We were the only team in the league without one. So we knew we had to get a video board. We had to start adding some excitement, replays, and so on. We needed to add some pizzazz to the game. We need to see some young families, young fans. So that was pretty obvious and changed that demographic. That's when I talked about Huey McKay, and he was a big part of that. But it was funny. Huey was funny because I remember saying to him, Huey, we need an inflatable football or helmet or something to run our players out. We got to do that. Oh, we can't do that. I said, that was Huey.
Cost.
I said, well, he said, we don't have where are we going to put it and how are we going to do it? But Huey's really a smart guy. And then, next day he comes to me, he's, I've been thinking about that. We can do it. He said, but there was, there were such obvious changes, like an inflatable helmet, the drum line, all those mm-hmm. things. But those were the things that you brought in to add some excitement, add some pizzazz. We needed better concessions. We needed better everything. I mean, that was just our reality. Mm-hmm. But our fans were so loyal, and they didn't complain. They were the fans weren't really complaining. They were, and that was part of it too. Was changing this mindset from, hey, we're happy we got the Riders, to hey, we want to win some games here. Right. We want to win a Grey Cup. So those were the obvious ones, and it was getting the people resources to make these things happen. And of course, once we won the Grey Cup, then of course we went from having no money, no resources to being able to do the kind of things we needed to do.
We'll take a timeout. This has been a lot of fun today. And Jim Hops is with us for all of hour one. We got fans of other CFL teams writing in from across the country, asking Jim his thoughts on a variety of topics. You're welcome to do so. We'll get to some of these Prairie Mobile texts as well when we come back after the break. Plus the Duke has a big announcement.
Oh,
are you making it here today?
Sure, I can.
Okay, good.
Why not?
So hang around, everybody. We'll be right back. You are watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch the podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install.
Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show, everybody, on a Wednesday morning. We got Hall of Famer Jim Hopson with us in studio in honor of show number 52. He's wearing number 52. And by the way, shares it with some greats. Ray Lewis. You want to do a Ray Lewis dance, Jim? Would you?
I mean, that'd be good.
Think you could do out of the tunnel?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no question that would be viral.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was something else.
Oh, man. Montreal Canadiens Craig Rivé for the hockey fans. Oh. For you, Clark, here's one from the Leafs, Martin Marincin. Remember the former Regina
former
Pat?
Former Regina Pat.
Wore for like three seasons. So number 52, 52nd show. And actually, Ken Cheveldayoff, Cabinet Minister Ken Cheveldayoff, tells me he's never missed an episode of the program. Not one. And I think he wore 52 for the Huskies. Can you let me know that, Chevy? So a lot of greats wearing number 52. Our daily poll for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is, which is Canada's game of the week in the CFL?
This is a tough one.
It's tough for a few reasons. One, the Riders aren't playing, so you got to vote for somebody else. And for two, there's some good games. Thursday night, it's BC at Winnipeg. Friday, of course, Edmonton at Toronto. And a Saturday doubleheader, Hamilton Tiger Cats at Ottawa Red Blacks and Montreal at Calgary. Do you guys want to take a stab at who our viewers and listeners think is the game of the week?
I'm going to pick just myself. I'm intrigued with the BC-Winnipeg one.
So am I.
I thought BC looked better, and I was still not impressed with Winnipeg. I know they got the win against Calgary, but I mean, they were one tip ball away from losing that one as well. And I just didn't see the bounce back that I wanted to see out of Winnipeg. I think that can be a very close and exciting game. So that's the one that I'm picking.
I agree with you. I think BC's close to breaking through.
Yeah.
They were in a position to win on the weekend, and they blew it. So I agree with you. I'm kind of interested to see that Montreal-Calgary game, though. I think Montreal is they get their quarterback back. And
yeah,
that'll make
that's
a difference.
Huge.
But you know, Calgary's still Calgary, and they're still the team to beat until they get knocked off. Hey, somebody just mentioned Mike Webster, maybe the greatest center that ever played with Pittsburgh Steelers, number 52.
That's Joe in New York. Joe watching this morning from New York, pointing out Mike Webster of the Pittsburgh Steelers. By the way, Metal Shingle Guy writing us on the Prairie Mobile text line. Remember him from the old show?
Yes,
He's found us. He says, Rod, I just found out about your new program last night on In the Huddle, my TV show.
Where
he says,
been, Metal Shingle guy?
Yeah, he goes, I've been going through your podcast. You sure have had a lot of great guests. Keep it up. Well, that's Clark, who is on the other side of this wall. So thank Clark for that. Speaking of great guest, we had Milt Stegall, and now I think he's having some connection problems down in Atlanta, where he spends most of his time. That's his home. Oh, by the way, the poll winner, they took it off my screen here, or not the winner, the leader right now, the leader of two polls reporting is Ottawa at Hamilton.
Really?
For Canada's Game of the Week. So the games are starting to mean a lot more. And by the way, as we await, Milt Stegall, breaking news. You have an announcement.
So as many people know, I put my name forward to run for the nomination for the Saskatchewan Party in Regina Northeast. We now have a date for the nomination meeting. It's going to be September 26th, a Thursday. Scouting a couple locations, the executive committee is, but that's going to be the day. So if you live in Uplands, if you live in Glencairn, Park Ridge, any of those places, just look me up, D Myers YQR, on virtually every social media. And yeah, I'll come out and get you signed up. Got to be a party member, but it's exciting. It's definitely a new phase. As Jim has gone through different phases of his football career, this is definitely a new phase for me, but I'm excited to be a part of our province moving forward.
Well, congratulations on this next phase of your life.
Thank you very much.
I've been following what you're doing, not just because of our close friendship, but for a variety of reasons. I do like to follow politics. I want nothing to do with it, but I watch it. And I'm wondering how the door knocking goes, because that's something I would never do.
It's so at this stage,
I would not like to do that.
People ask me, and right now you're going out and you're engaging Saskatchewan Party voters, basically, because those are the ones that are going to come to the nomination. So you're basically dealing with friendlies. Like, you know that it's like having a home game. You know that 90% of the people are going to be cheering for you, unless the Maple Leafs are in town. But it's so you know that basically every door that you step on, because you have the list, is people that are, you know, kind of aligned with some of your ideals. So it's great. I love hearing what some of the challenges are for people too. Like, it's not all rosy, and it never is in our province. There's always things we can fix and get better. Much like a football team, you know, you're rolling, you're 5-3, but somebody doesn't like the one corner on the wide side of the field, or they think the punter outkicks the coverage too often, which I love that one. There's always challenges, and I love hearing that. And I want to be a part of the solution. I mean, I got three kids. This is my contribution. Jim was a teacher and an educator for years, molding kids. I'm hoping to be a part of, you know, seeing more, getting our kids healthier. And I think athletics is a big thing behind that, because we're dealing right now the beginning of what I can see is a bit of a crisis. And I look at it with, you know, my own kids on their iPads and just not being out there. And I think sports and team sports especially are just such a massive benefit, not only health-wise, but socially-wise. And as the world changes a bit, I mean, I would have played video games all the time too, but my dad, you know, kicked my ass outside or sent me to hockey practice. And I just, you know, I want to be a part of trying to encourage that.
My dad literally
giving us facilities
threw me outside. These days, you can't do that anymore. So that's part of it. It's Regina Northeast, though, right?
Regina Northeast, which is just kind of a funny constituency, because it's Uplands, and then you have the whole industrial, the upgrader area where nobody lives, and then it also encompasses a bunch of Glencairn as well, and Park Ridge. So it's a big area.
You talk about listening to your constituents, and it's just ahead of Milt Stegall here, Jim. I want, observing what you do, it seemed like not only were you president, but you were the head of the complaints department. Like, I'm sure every Monday you spent the whole day calling people, emailing people. And one of my friends was Bart Holt. You might remember. He's probably watching this morning. A fireman who you said you had to call him and say, guys, cool it. Because they were doing issues in the old university section. He's like, somebody had our tickets. You probably don't even remember that, but it's a story he still tells. But that was a really big part of your job, dealing with constituents, that I don't think people knew that you dealt with that as much.
In my career as principal and director, and then later with Riders, I always believe it was important to get back to people, no matter how big the complaint or how small. And so if they took the time to contact me personally, whether it was an email, a phone call, a letter, I got lots of letters, I would take the time to get back to them. And I always tried to get back the same day if possible. And it was kind of fun, because they a lot of times they'd be shocked. You know, I'd phone them and I'd tell them who I was, and they'd go, really? You're not Jim. Yes, I'm Jim Hobson. I'm calling you. You had this concern. And it was great because those are your customers. Those are the people that are going to keep you going. And you also learned a lot. Sometimes the complaints were funny, you know, they were pretty trivial, but sometimes they were very serious about safety issues and different things. So, you know, you'd learn from it and hopefully be able to get better. Some of them were just, you know, fans wanting to vent about Roy or a player or why are you doing this? But I had some fun, and it turned out that a lot of those people became true fans, and they would send me nice comments mm-hmm. and nice letters and cards and Christmas cards and so on. So, but I think it's important, and I think any business that doesn't listen to its customers and get back to them
will be out of business.
And you know, the funny thing was, a lot of times they didn't really expect you to be able to fix it. You know, the old stadium, for mm-hmm. example, pretty tough to deal with some of the issues. They just wanted to know that somebody heard and cared. And I think that was a big part. And Derek, I just want to say, I don't care what party you're going to run for or Wait. All that kind of stuff. I cannot say enough about people that let their name stand and put themselves out there.
I agree.
Part of our problem as a country right now is, Nobody wants to step up and run. We complain, we carry on, we don't like this, we don't like that. But I give credit to those people that go, and it's a tough life because, you know, you're always out there. And so good on you, and I hope you do well. Yeah. And it is a different constituency. I know that I'm just a little bit to the west, more in the north central. Right. But yeah, you've got an interesting constituency, and I've got family lives up there. But go for it and see what happens. Huh?
Well, and I think it's, and I take a lot of this from people like yourself, Jim. The way you manage things was, it's pretty easy to become insulated in your own bubble, and mm-hmm. you know, when you're dealing with the education system or with the riders and thinking everything's good and not seeing. So when you do hear those outside things, it's kind of an eye opener sometimes to different perspectives. And that's what I really enjoy. I mean, I've been fortunate enough through my life to, you know, work in the oil field and work on television and have all these great opportunities, but you can become a bit insulated in that. So this has really given me a real eye opening into some of the great things we have going on and some of the challenges we have. And it's, yeah, I'm only getting started, and it's been a lot of fun. So September 26th, yeah, it's a big day.
Good on you.
Thanks.
Rod, I'm just going to mention too, one of the things I learned in education was, and I used to say this to my teachers, you know, if you guys would take the time to pick up the phone and call when something happens and say, this happened today at school, just want you to know, and we're gonna work through it. I said, you'd save all of us a lot of trouble, because if you don't do that, student goes home, tells the parent, parent calls me, you know, by the time we're done with it, it's 3 or 4 days and we've spent all kind, we had a, you know, and just nip it in the bud when there's an issue. And it's kind of like relationships. If you and your wife are having a little dispute, a lot easier to say, I'm sorry at the beginning, or let's talk about this, and, you know, go to work mad, come home mad, and all of a sudden it's taken on a life of its own. So try to deal with things, you know, when they're small and not out of control.
Which I know you carried over to the riders, right?
Yeah, tried.
Yeah.
How many years married?
This time?
Am I putting you on the spot? Am I putting you on the spot?
No, I talk about it. I was married for 34 years, and I've been married this time for 9. And so I like to joke that I'm trying to get to 50.
But boy.
Between the two.
But you're not the Pittsburgh Steelers. Only two over the lifetime of the franchise, no. Over the Hobson franchise.
And I was very lucky. I can't say anything bad about my ex-wife, and I'm very happy with the relationship I have. And you know, I grew up though thinking I'd never get divorced, but guess what?
Life happens,
hey, and you got to deal with it.
We're all in the same. I think we're all riding in the same Jeep here.
You're reminding me, by the way. I guess that there's our new thing this morning. Combined years of marriage. It reminds me of Andrew Harris has moved into third for combined yards all time in the CFL.
He's pretty close.
Passed Ray Elgard. Yeah. Yeah, he's like 65 away from
being number one.
Andrew
which
Harris,
which is. We know Andrew Harris is a good player, but when you pause and think about that, all-time yardage.
It's ridiculous what he's done. That doesn't get credit.
Ben Cahoon, he's got to pass Ben Cahoon. Yeah, he is maybe as unheralded as they come, because that is amazing. And as a Canadian, I mean, that's fantastic.
Well, it's for a Canadian.
Yes, yeah.
That's what the record is.
It's amazing.
I gotta tell you, we spent a lot of time with John Cornish this weekend and his fiance, and he's an interesting guy. And I know our fans didn't like him much. I didn't like him much. You know, a couple of incidents here. My wife, for some reason, always loved him, loved the way he played. But one thing I love about the young man is he is a fan of the CFL and he's a student of the CFL. He can talk to you all day about former players, and he really is quite intellectual when he starts talking about the game and so on. But he's a great young guy, and he's going to do very well in his life. I mean, here he is relatively young, and he's already in the Hall of Fame, and he's got a bright future ahead of him.
He left on his own terms, which is so rare.
He gets it.
He does. Right. And he's very accessible. He spent the whole game virtually out in the stands talking to people and visiting and signing autographs. And so I love to see that, because a lot of the young guys, they don't really get it, you know.
Well, it reminds me, too, by the way. Well, I've got a cousin who watches from Calgary every day. He keeps saying to me, well, he married my cousin, actually. He says, when are you going to be on television out here? When are you going to be on radio out here? But he's done business with John Cornish, and he brought up my name. And John had nothing but great things to say about me, which shocked me. He goes, I brought this up in a meeting with John, who's doing investment capital. Right. Now, he probably told you that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what did he say? Oh, no, very nice things. And it reminds me of the 2013 Grey Cup, which the Riders beat Calgary in the West Final. John comes here and strolls through Ridervale, through all the fan things. And I remember some security guard trying to be somebody wouldn't let John Cornish into Ridervale because he didn't have the proper pass. So I'm like, no, let him in. These are the kind of people you want in your events at Grey Cup, right?
You know what he did on Saturday night? They said, okay, you're going to go down. You're going to do your interview on the sideline or whatever. And then you'll come back up to the box ahead for us. And John said, no, I'm going to stay down. He said, I hear they got some really good locally brewed beer over in the corner. We want to go over. And so he went. He was wandering around, enjoying it, soaking it up. So you love to see that. And he truly was a great player. There's no doubt about it.
Who's the guy? Too good sometimes.
Who's the guy that, maybe as a player or even as a CEO, you love to, and aside from Dwight Anderson, but even in the league, that you love to hate, and then you met them and went, man, did I have this guy wrong? For me, and you're going to hate this one, Jim, Tony Gabriel was so damn nice that it was hard to hate the guy after we met him. I met him in a Grey Cup, and I thought, man alive, you know, all these years, you were trained to hate Tony Gabriel.
You're right about Tony. He was there Friday night.
He's amazing.
Saturday night. He's a great guy, great ambassador. He looks great, and it looks like he could still play in some ways.
But do you have a guy that you were just kind of wrong on?
Well, I'd have to go to Edmonton, and probably Rick Lulisher, who's become a good friend, because, you know, I hated the Eskimos. They kept knocking us off. Every year we'd, you know, get to the final, Edmonton beat us, they'd win. And so he kind of symbolized that franchise, and I really liked him. Interesting guy. He was a junior hockey player, and he played with Edmonton, and I think he was team captain. And he told me he didn't have good stats except for penalties, so he was my kind of guy.
Yeah.
He was a rough, tough guy, but you're right. You meet guys, and you think, boy, and then there's some guys you meet, and they're pretty much what you thought. Yeah.
That too. They say you never want to meet your heroes. Speaking of heroes, we got him, Milt Stegall from the CFL on TSN, Canadian Football Hall of Famer. You can throw your headphones on there, Jim, if you want. Sitting here listening to the CFL discussion, you recognize Hall of Famer Jim Hopson with us, Milt. How are things? Are you in Atlanta right now? How are things down there?
I'm in Atlanta. I'm actually sitting in my car. I was trying to get on my computer, but there were some difficulties. So it's hot in Atlanta, really hot. It's over 100 degrees. Oof. So I'm sitting in my car in the air conditioned.
Well, I bet you're going to be happy to get back up to Canada this weekend for week 10. But Milt, I want to look back to week 9 for a second. I'm blown away. The Bombers beat Calgary 26-24 last week, and the people in Winnipeg are mad. And I don't understand why. They're mad at Matt Nichols. They were mad at the outcome of the game. What's going on in Winnipeg?
Well, I mean, the people are concerned. I mean, they're happy with their record, but I think they're concerned that they know they can't win a championship with that style of play. You need your quarterback to make some plays and not just dink and dunk to Andrew Harris. You need your quarterback to go out there and be able to throw the ball down the field. And I know his receivers may not be top-notch like some other teams, but when you're a good quarterback, regardless who your receivers are, you're able to make some plays. And they haven't seen that out of Matt Nichols. Of course, I know they know every team in the league would love to win, but they know in the run, the championship, your back has to be able to play, and they just haven't got enough out of Matt Nichols yet.
So that's how the Bomber fans feel. I assume you include yourself as a Bomber fan. Do you agree with them being upset and that they will not win a championship winning a game on special teams?
Well, after the season, and, you know, I'm a former player, you don't think of that far in the road. You the net in hand and right in a great position. They're in 6-2, first place, best record in the CFL. So you're not thinking about the great cup. Like what you're doing right now. Winning with that list, you're going to be doing that. So you're not even thinking that far down the road. The coaches aren't, the players aren't, the people in that organization. They're just winning this next game against the BC Lions tomorrow. So that's so far down the road, you're not concerned with that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Do you guys got something for Mill?
Just with BC coming into town tomorrow, what have you seen out of the Lions that might be encouraging to their fans as it possibly looks like they're getting closer to turning a bit of a corner? Did you see that at all, Milt?
Well, they finally put Mike Riley to a certain. I mean, they gave up sacks this past game against him. A couple of them because of some mishaps and snaps, but they opened up some holes for John White. So you saw some positive effect from that offense they were expecting here. We knew the offense struggled some because that offense invested so much money, not only in Mike Riley, but that offensive line also. So Ed Hervey went out, made a trade for the guy from Calgary. So we saw some promise there. But they're still in a crazy position. The fact that they lost that game in that fashion, and I was on the sideline, and you can see those players, they were just upbeat when they had that lead. They knew they had a great chance to win that game, and then they just were so deflated after the way they lost. So it's going to be hard to come back for that one. Have a possibility of making the championship. I mean, making they may need Birmingham or San Antonio to help them out, but there's still a chance that they can make the playoffs. So let's just see what happens for this last half of the season.
Mill, we got quite a race going on here in the West. 3-way tie at 5-3, and the Bombers ahead at 6-2. But who's the best team in the East right now? I can't answer that question. Can you?
I mean, it's the Tigers, and people were concerned when Jeremiah went down. You put Dane Evans in there, a guy who really hadn't played much. They surround him with so much talent, they've been able to do a great job. Mark Washington, who the players love over there, is doing a great job with that defense. Tommy Condell, who's also a guy the players love. And then you have Speedy Banks, who, in my opinion, is the best playmaker in this league. And when you put Dane Evans back there, he doesn't have to do much. He just has to not lose the game for these guys. So, in my opinion, they're still the best. What happens when Vern steps back in the field and Willie back? Those are the two most players on that offense for Montreal. If those two guys can get back up to speed, it will be a two-team race in the East to see who can win it. And after that, I see a team West crossing over because I just don't see Ottawa and Toronto doing enough to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's getting it's a little late for those teams for sure. Milt, the video was a little choppy, but we got the best of it. Enjoy the rest of the time in Atlanta today, and we'll be watching you on TV here in Week 10.
Before I leave, I just want to say congratulations to Simpson. He's done not only so much for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, but so much for this league, and I definitely appreciate everything he's done. And congratulations.
Thank you. And Milt, You're still the best looking guy on the panel.
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I wanted to say congratulations. You're very smart. Very smart.
Don't go anywhere, Milt. Then since you can hear us, I do have one question for you. What are you most proud of on your body? Your abs or your face?
I would have to say my abs because everyone can see my face. My wife is only privy to see these abs, to see them for free. So that's the most exciting thing on my body is my abs.
And I'm gonna have thank you.
In my kid, I'm gonna have shirt off, my cover, but my shirt off so you can see my abs.
Thank you, Milt. Have a good day.
Thanks, Milt.
All right, you guys. Be take well. Care.
Boy, well, this is the thing. Abu Mashrik always calls him the Turtle Man.
Yes.
And when I'm like, he's not slow. Why do you call him the Turtle Man? He goes, it's because his abs look like a turtle shell.
You know, he'll really be something when he gets over his shyness.
Yeah, no kidding. Hoppy, I know you got to run. Any last comments?
No, pleasure to be here. Thanks for the opportunity to visit with you and the fans. And you know, I just can't say enough about how we were treated in Hamilton by the fans, and I'm excited about Neil going in next week. I actually got to go shoot a little video now for the Plaza next week, and we're excited about that, and I guess we'll have to ask Neil if he's been inducted into any more halls since...
two in the last week, yeah. All right,
he's
Jim,
rolling,
thanks.
Congrats.
For old Tom guy.
Yeah, Tom Trojans all day.
There you go.
In honor of 52, Jim Hobson, show number 52, wears his jersey. Thanks for the support, Jim.
Thank you.
Next hour, Neil Hughes in the bunker and a whole lot more with the Duke and Darren DuPont. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play. He can do it. He can do it.
He's allowed.
We'll be back with hour two right after this.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Employee pricing is back. These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price.
Get this certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox LT all-wheel drive for only $24,998 plus tax. Or check out this certified pre-owned 2018 Jeep Compass Limited 4x4 for just $28,750 plus tax. We have over 40 low-mileage Jeeps in stock at Canada's largest GM-certified pre-owned retailer.
You pay what we pay!
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.